So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. So many things have been happening that I thought it fitting for us to just look at what I consider a list of headlines. So many things have been taking place. Now, what we have, ladies and gentlemen, is, in fact, it just completed. Actually, let's see, to be accurate, it was last week. Just completed last week, World Economic Forum, and that was in Davos, Switzerland. Is a little town in Switzerland, and they have leaders of industry and, different leaders in their different area of expertise, so to speak. They meet there every year, and this year we have a record, as it is reported, a record number of heads of state. And so they went there and they, of course, make their declaration, they pontificate, they go ahead and they share information about how they plan to cooperate and to collaborate in the, or at least this next coming year. And of course, next year again, they'll do it, the same again. But I just thought I'd just point out some highlights that I don't hear. Maybe it's in the news. I haven't heard it. And I want to make sure we understand what is going on, because so much has been happening, ladies and gentlemen. I encourage you, whenever I talk about the scripture, especially tonight, go back and look at these for yourself, because the enemy is so clever. He is so, he's moving around so vigorously. It is easy to lead people astray. It's easy for you to be, more or less tripped up. And so you want to make sure you stay on top of things. Now, to begin with, the president, President of the United States, he unveiled, he talked about it before, but it was done officially on the 22nd of January. In Davos, he talked about the Board of Peace. Now, for those who, what happened is that this board is supposed to be a governing organization. And originally it was talked about as the governing entity that they're going to have in Gaza. That's a little area of land west of Israel or west, southwest, where they have been having those conflicts. And so what they're going to do is try to rebuild it. They're trying to, it's a little over what, almost 3 million people living there. But the point was that they want to do something for those folks. And primarily, they are, Palestinian descent. Those are the same people we used to call the Philistines in the Bible. And so Mr. Trump has taken it upon himself to go ahead and set up this Board of Peace. Now, what we have heard since then is that since the announcement of this board, that it's going to address any other or can be used for any other conflicts that we have worldwide. And so what we begin to see, ladies and gentlemen, is a stage being set for a kind of system that is on the same level as the United Nations. But the representatives and so on are actually, to begin with, you have what they call permanent members, and they have to pay $1 billion, I think it was, for them to be a part of that board. And so that's basically what the structure is. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to address various conflicts. And in this case, they're going to set up a governing board for the people in Gaza. Now, that was done on the 22nd. And, on the 22nd. And then what we have just learned, at least I just did not learn until today, is that the Board of Peace, by the way, the chairman of that board is Mr. Trump. He is always going to be the chairman. Unless something, I guess as long as he's alive. And I don't see anything else with regards to how they can actually make any changes in the leadership. But that's a part of it. Now, it is supposed to be on the same level as the United Nations. And interestingly, he has invited, he said, 60 world leaders. And the only ones who have openly said they are going to be a part of it is those who are from dictatorial countries, don't believe in democracy as we know it, and so on. But they are the only ones, and of course they met at Davos, and I'm not sure what went on behind closed doors, but that's a part of it. But subsequent to that, though, what happened is that we did see where he appointed a gentleman by the name of Ali, Ali, S-H-A-A-T-H, I guess that's how you shot. And he is going to be the chief commissioner of the National Committee for the Administration of Gaza. The Administration of Gaza. Now, what we find is that before that, that territory was governed primarily by Hamas. And, since they had the conflict since 2023, Israel is now occupying a part of it. And so there is supposed to be some peacekeeping forces from other nations and so on coming there. And of course, the United States is having discussion. And of course, I suggest you might say rigorous discussion because they can't agree on what countries we're going to allow to come in. But my point is that this is part of what you see taking place already, where this Board of Peace now is actually functioning. And of course, I looked at some of the excerpts. You can look it up on the YouTube. Mr. Trump was saying this is a prestigious board. And the idea is that they are going to be the ones to help promote peace worldwide. You and I know the story about how that is going to end up, but that's really where it is. And so the Board of Peace appointed that gentleman to be the commissioner. By the way, it's not clear as to his territory yet, but that's what he's going to do. He's supposed to be handling that area. Now, I'm saying this to point something out, because when we go to Psalms 83, we're beginning to see a scenario being worked out. And you and I need to be aware of this. So I'm saying, because things are happening so quickly, if you're not reading up on this beforehand, then it is easy for you to get lost in what is actually taking place. In verse 1, it says of Psalm 83, "Keep thou silent, O God. Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For look, your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." And of course, that is part of the challenge that we have with Israel being in the Middle East, the neighboring countries, for the most part, is saying if they stay there, they can't be a nation as such. And of course, that's the gist of the conflict. He says, verse 5 says, "For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederated against thee. The tabernacle of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Agarines, Jebal and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Ashur also is joined with them." By the way, Ashur there used to be the capital of Assyria. Remember who those people are again? They are what we now call the Germans. So the point here is this. It's a prophecy that is going to be fulfilled down the road. And here we are. We are appointing this gentleman to be in charge of setting this group up. And, of course, there is conflict now between the United States and Israel as to who should compose the peacekeeping forces. Anyway, that's what Mr. Trump is actually spearheading this, and of course that's what's going to take place. So you can keep your eye on that and expect more challenges in that era, more conflict, and eventually they're going to have the upper hand. But you begin to see what is taking place there. And so what I'm saying then is, read this prophecy so that you become aware of what is actually taking place. So when it actually comes into full fruition, you won't be caught off guard. What are they going to do? They're going to get together, and of course they're going to, as this gentleman, by the way, he's a civil engineer by training, and they expect for him, he says he just can't wait to help clean up all the bombings and so on that took place in Gaza. And of course, they supposedly are going to make this place beautiful and so on. But here we are, you're seeing a scenario now where they're going to have these groups of nations coming together, and they are going to be right adjacent to Israel. And of course, they have never made it any secret as to what their goal is. They want to get rid of Israel. So this is part of what we're looking at. And I encourage you then to look at this, keep abreast of it, look at the news, because it's unfolding right before our very eyes. And that's Psalm 83 once more. Let's read a little more about what is going on. Let's see. What else is taking place? Well, that's one of the things that came out of it. The Board of Peace, of course, got its official, unveiling. And so everybody should be familiar with that now. And again, remember now, it is really, in a sense, replacing the United Nations. But notice the difference. One person is in charge. Well, you see the stage being set, where you're going to have one person coming again, talking about peace. And of course, First Thessalonians chapter 3 is describing what is going to take place. When they say peace, peace, then, you know, you're going to have sudden destruction. So that's part of what is unfolding before our very eyes. And I thought I'd just bring that to our attention tonight. Something else that we need to be aware of. So many things have been happening this week. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter, I want to go to it and read a couple of verses where the prophecy was made. Genesis chapter 22, about Israel in the latter days. He says, and verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham and out of the heaven, and the second time, that's when he was going to sacrifice his son, and he says, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou have done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Notice now, he promised him he's going to multiply his children as the stars of heaven, and in the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. They are going to possess the strategic, travel areas like the Suez Canal and the Panama Canal and the Cape of, around South Africa. I think it's called the Cape of Good Hope. Those strategic areas are going to be controlled by the descendants of Israel, which is really what transpired. And he says, and thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because thou have obeyed my voice. But again, back in verse 17, they are going to possess the gates. They're going to have those things. Now, what happened is, you can look it up. I did not realize it again this week. I think maybe a day or so ago. The High Court in Panama has ruled that the control of the Panama Canal operation needs to be transferred from the Chinese company that has been doing it since 97. And of course, they're going to be giving it to someone else. And I believe it's because all this is fresh, by the way. So we know, you know, Mr. Trump was saying that they'd like it back since China is not a neutral country. Well, that's what you see unfolding right now. So that is coming back. And we're going to explain a little about that as we go along some more as to the prophecies about what would happen to Israel in the latter days. But I just thought I'd point this out. You know, they've ruled. And so now expect this week and, of course, the coming weeks for them to talk about who is going to be in control of the Panama Canal. So I just thought I'd go ahead and just share some of these things at this point. And then we're going to come back and look at what the Bible says with regards to the blessing. Because remember, he said he's going to bless us. But that's conditional that we continue to obey him, because he promised if we don't, then things are going to happen. And of course, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, let me go ahead and touch on it, in verse 49. Let's start at verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against you from far ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, and a nation which tongue you shall not understand, nor speak a different language. Verse 50, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the persons of old, nor show favor to the young. Verse 51, and he shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land. In other words, take up the, you know, your resources, the cattle and so on. Verse 52, and he shall besiege you in all your gates. Because we will not obey God, then they're going to besiege you in all your gates until the high fenced walls come down. So the point is this, because we are not doing this, this is part of the reason why we are losing these strategic possessions, because our wealth comes from, you know, trading. And of course, those strategic areas, when we control that, then we, of course, become, you know, prosperous. That was the prosperity that came upon American and British people. And, of course, it was waning as we gave the Panama Canal back to Panama. And now Mr. Trump is getting it back again. And it's going to be for a temporary period of time, folks. But the point is, because we are not obeying God, this is why we're going to end up losing it permanently. So I just thought I'd go ahead and just point this out. And you can begin to see these things as they unfold right before our eyes. That way you can look at it day in, day out, read it again, go back and check the Bible, and you begin to see prophecy unfolding before your eyes. I want to open the floor at this point for anyone who has any questions, comments, or suggestions. Thank you. It certainly is. And, you know, we're going on to, we're going to look at something. You can turn to 2 Kings chapter 14. I've been looking at this for quite a few years. I've really been reluctant to say anything about this. Allude to it occasionally, but things are unfolding now that I'd like for us to take close attention to. And so this is why I'm going to spend the time tonight to explain this. In 2 Kings, all right, let me preface this by saying, there are a lot of prophecies in the Bible where there is a duality. Things happen in the past, and then it happens again. And of course, in the end time, you're going to have something similar. And this is one of those. So what we find then is that in 2 Kings chapter 14, and verse 23. He says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, that's when you had the nations, Israel and Judah, existing together during that time. All right, that's the initial stages. And so remember, they had a civil war, and then you end up with two nations. And so he says, in the 15th year of the Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria. Now remember, Samaria was the capital of the nation of Israel, the larger 10 tribes. They kept the name Israel, and they set up another town called Samaria, and that was their capital. The smaller two tribes, Judah, they kept the capital in Jerusalem, and God allowed it to be that way. All right. So what happened now is this. Jeroboam, the son of, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Well, he's going to be king over Israel also. So after his daddy died, then he's going to take over. So he's the son of Joash. Now, we in modern times, we would say Jeroboam the second. Why? Because there was a Jeroboam before him, the very first one to set up the nation of Israel. His name was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And if in fact you look at it and count it out, 107 years, God kept talking about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that made Israel to sin. Well, here it is, he's saying, Jeroboam the second, or Jeroboam, the son of Joash, he began to reign, and he says, and he reigned 40 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Notice that now. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So he did not correct any of what went on before. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is because many have been making reference to some of what we have in our days, that there is going to be a type of Jeroboam who is going to rescue, well, in this case, the United States. He's going to rescue Israel, since we are the dominant force now and we are the representative. He's going to rescue us from other nations. And so you begin to see all the conflict that is happening. Now we have a trade war that's actually unfolding before us, and nations are taking sides. And you're going to find a lot of them are going to come against us. All right? So we expect it to happen during this period of time. But I wanted you to notice who God was using to rescue the nation. And he says in verse 25, and this is why I'm saying this now, because it's going to take time for you to read this and digest it and begin to come back and say, wait a minute now. So that is what is happening. All right. So verse 25 says, he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Amat onto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, and the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath, or the state of Gath, you would say, or the tribe of Gath. My point, though, is that he was restoring certain things to the nation. So when you hear certain people talking about making certain countries great again and restoring certain things, you begin to see it actually unfolding before your very eyes. I want you to notice the similarity. That's what I'm trying to point out. Let's read a little more. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. What we find is that you're going to see a lot of folks now, nobody really. Or let me rephrase that. There are not many who are willing to stand up for America today. We're going to have to stand on our own 2 feet now. If we learn to rely on God, It wouldn't be that difficult, but we're not. But so in the physical, this is what is happening. And verse 27 says, "And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is, here it is, we see the nations are really surrounding America now where it comes with trading. They signed this South American Common Market agreement with Europe. And we see all that unfolding right before our eyes. And they are creating a mart of nation. That's really what the Bible calls it. A group of nations where they're going to buy and sell and trade without America. All that is unfolding before our eyes. And so part of what we see now is America is going to be struggling against this system in place. It is important we recognize what is actually taking place there. And so here it is. This is going to happen, and that whoever that leader is, he's going to be a type of Jeroboam. But he's not leading people to God. He's just doing things. In his own eyes, he thinks he's doing what is right. But he didn't point people to Jesus. I want you to notice the difference. So we in the church need to be mindful of this as we see these things unfold before us. So this is part of what we begin to see. So here it is. They're talking about now, well, we're going to have some more say-so over the Panama Canal. But is the nation repenting? No. So how long do you think that's going to last? Well, as long as certain people are in office, and then it goes away again. And as we read in Deuteronomy 28, verse 52 a minute ago, all that is going to be, you know, taken away. Those gates are going to be taken away again. And you can see now how they're going to gang up against us and start to block off certain, shipping ports and things like that. You begin to see all this unfolding before our very eyes. And the fact that they made that ruling this week in Panama, in their courts down there, granting us this, I guess you would say, access again, is, it's worthy of mention. But how long it's going to last, we don't know. But I just thought I'd point that out. Remember, we're going to control it until we, of course, stop serving God like we should. Now, with regards to the March of Nations, let's go in and just touch on it quickly. I mentioned it, I think, last time, Isaiah, the 23rd chapter. It's just one verse. You have to take time to read the whole thing. You begin to see. Let me just go ahead and point certain things out that is taking place. What is happening is this. The ancient traders used to go again. They'd carry things by boat from one era to another. I mean, once you have commerce like that, they make a lot of money. Well, that's what was happening. But the point here is that in the latter days, again, you're going to have a similar system. And in verse 3, it's where it makes reference to this Mart of Nations. Now, let me back up and point something out. Remember what I said the other day, and in fact, we've talked about before, MERCORSUR, that's the Southern Common Market, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and I think Chile was there, the one that those were the founding members, and they signed that agreement with Europe. And we're going to come back to that because Europe make mention of that again this week. They made mention of it again this past Wednesday, as a matter of fact. And so we're being able to see all this now is ramping up because remember, whether we like it or not, there is a trade war going on between us and the other nations. And little by little, they are going to gain the upper hand unless the nation repents. Well, you can tell what is happening there. So let's look at it again. Isaiah chapter 23, verse 3 says, "And by great waters, the seed of Seor, the harvest of the river, as her revenue, and she is a mart of nations." Now, that phrase by itself, if you just take it out of context, it hardly makes sense until you start to read the whole chapter and you begin to see where it actually dovetails, talking about these group of people having a mart of nations, or nowadays, I guess we don't use the term mart, we use say market, but you get the idea. And so that's part of what is actually taking place before us. So I just thought I'd point that out. Now, I'm saying all these things are happening right before us. And what else do we need to know about? Well, you've heard of the G6, G7, and I think there may have been a G20. I don't remember. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a G6, and there used to be a G7. Well, this week now, they made mention of an E6, talking about the European nations. Now, what are they saying? They were complaining that with 420 million people, they ought to have more, they should be occupying more of a center stage, so to speak. And so what they're saying is the European Union is a little bit too cumbersome because of the way it is. And so these six nations decided they're going to take things in their own hand. And they started Wednesday. So when you hear they talk about the E6, I'm going to give you the nations in a minute. And they're now going to be the ones leading the way, because what they want to have a military, and they want to have a strong president, as they put it. So the E6 nations are Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Poland, and Netherlands. All right, and of course they are advancing, as they call it, their Europeans' ambitious dream. And of course, again, we begin to see that unfolding. So we expect that to be a group of 10, because the Bible said they're going to be 10. But right now it's 6 now that have started off this Wednesday, and now they're taking the lead. So at any time, we expect them to add others, and of course, eventually you will have 10. What's going to happen to the other nations? They're going to go back and join the original bloc and, you know, branch off to other nations as they did before. So that's what's going to happen. But you will have the group of 10, and then they are going to be the force that we refer to as the beast power, and nobody's going to be able to stop them. We expect them to have military equivalent to us by 2030, maybe 31. That is what they are projecting. Their timeline is 2030, but it may be a little bit, you know, I don't think it's going to come before, but it could be a little after. But we begin to see all this taking place. So why am I pointing this out? Because then that leads back to the beast system. So we see all of this, ladies and gentlemen, unfolding right before our very eyes. And it's just, I just thought it is amazing that so many different things could happen in 1 week. But that's what's unfolding right before our very eyes. Now, in the meanwhile, then, what do we see taking place? Well, of course, go to the book of Hosea, and it tells us that our God's people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And we're familiar with that. And so because the people are not being taught these things, of course, you are different. You're in a different group. You're studying. You're paying attention. And so you're being equipped with this. Now, we're not going to be scared. Remember, the Lord is with us. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. That is one of his names, Jehovah Shammah. And so he's going to continue to be with us. But in the meanwhile, now we need to be aware, because we're going to have to share this kind of information to other folks who are going to be shaken out of their wits when all these things start to fall apart quickly. There's a lot more to be said, especially in the economic realm. We'll talk about that in another time. But I just thought I'd go ahead and just point these things out to you. Now, in Hosea chapter 9 and in verse 6 and 7. It's for lo they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up, Memphis shall bury them, the pleasant places for their silver nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacle. Verse 7. The days of the visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. So here it is. Why is this happening? We just abandoned God. This prophet is, I hadn't noticed it until, well, I've seen it before, but didn't really ring in until today. I'm reading it again. The prophet is a fool. That's strong language. He's talking about these people who are supposed to be shedding light, and they're acting like fools. And you're beginning to see a lot of what is happening, especially in the churches. It is clear that the ministers don't know, and a lot of people are going to be caught off guard. And that's what you're beginning to see is taking place right around us. And so you and I have to be equipped, ready to share the light with others as people are going to be shaken out of their wits. He said, the spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all the ways, and the hatred in the house of his God. And the point is this, they are not doing what God says. The nation, the ministers, and you go Jeremiah, 50 verse 6. When God comes back, he's going to say their shepherds have caused them to go astray. So we begin to see all these things unfolding, ladies and gentlemen. But so much has happened this week. I just thought I had to share this with you and just keep you abreast of what is going on so that you can continually, you know, make sense out of what is taking place. And of course, continue to do your part in shedding the light. So I just want to go ahead and just, share that with you tonight. One hope in the floor once more, ladies and gentlemen, for anybody who has any questions, comment, or suggestion. And then, Brother Justin, when you're ready, sir, please close with prayer.